Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We spent a great deal of time and energy on this program debating health care in this country, but one part of the conversation has been missing. How to navigate the health care maze once you have access to it. Not understanding that can lead to inappropriate use of health care resources, and that includes over-reliance on emergency rooms for conditions that could be treated at a doctor's office. This incorrect use of resources is costing all of us a lot of money. The latest report pegs the cost of overuse of emergency departments alone at $38 billion. One major insurer, Anthem, recently attempted to get a handle on this by saying it would deny or limit coverage for patients if they determined use of the ER was not justified. So for the rest of the hour, a primer on how to navigate the healthcare system, when to use the ER, when not to, and how much this might save us all. Dr. Chris Griggs is an emergency department physician at Atrium Health. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ruth Christopolsky is senior vice president of population health at Atrium Health. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Donald Jonas is executive director at CareRing, an organization in Charlotte providing primary care for people with modest resources. Welcome back.
Thank you.
According to a study conducted by the University of Maryland School of Medicine, nearly half of all U.S. medical care is delivered by emergency departments, and in recent years that number has been growing. That study was conducted between 1996 and 2010. That was the period prior to the advent of the Affordable Care Act. Do we know how those numbers, or if those numbers, have changed since that time? Is it still rising, the use of emergency rooms?
The data suggests that consumers continue to use the emergency department at an increasing rate. So,
and,
yes, it continues to rise.
Do we know why? Is it because of lack of access to insurance, lack of information about what the emergency department was designed for? Why? Why is this happening?
I think there's a multitude of factors that contribute to patients using the emergency department. Certainly, we're open 24/7, and we're very convenient, and we offer services that can get to the bottom of what your complaint is. But sometimes the consumer may not know that there's other options in other places that they may be able to get a similar answer for a lower cost and shorter period of time.
If you are not insured, and one of the people in the population that CareRing serves, are there other options? Because they'll go there because they have the sniffles, or because they have a stomach ache, or because they cut their finger, and they don't have access to a physician.
That's right. So there are providers like ours. We have a clinic in Uptown Charlotte, and we work with a group called MedLink of Mecklenburg. There are a host of clinics that provide a variety of different kinds of care for folks. Sometimes it's free. Sometimes it's low cost. Sometimes it's a small contribution that's asked for the folks to be there. The challenge you'll have is someone that doesn't have any insurance, and they allow their disease to progress to a certain point where they don't. It's too late to come to us. It's time, and so they call up an ambulance and spend $500 to get to the ER to be stabilized for $1,500, and then be admitted if they have a heart issue. And all of a sudden, an issue that could have been managed by us or one of our partners, you have a $35,000 to $40,000 bill.
And if they don't have insurance and they don't have the money to pay for it themselves, who picks up the tab?
Well, Atrium Health provides $5.1 million in uncompensated care a day. And so
a day.
So ultimately, so
how much?
$5.1 million per day in uncompensated care.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Are those real costs or are those hospital charges?
Those are the costs to the organization. So again, the system, and in many cases, other systems with emergency departments often absorb the cost of individuals who go who cannot pay.
That University of Maryland study that I referenced a moment ago indicated that African-American patients were significantly more likely to use emergency rooms than patients of other racial groups, and patients living in the South were significantly more likely to use emergency rooms. Is that all economics? do you think? Is it because of the economics involved by those people?
I also think it's history and the way insurance coverage evolved in the South compared to other places, and it was access to alternatives. And so I arrived 2 years ago from the Midwest and the Texas market, and we had significantly lower rates of emergency department use, but had earlier entrance into the urgent care and same-day access services in those communities.
Do you think people know the difference between the emergency room and urgent care? Because Atrium operates some urgent care
30
facilities.
30 across the region.
Do you think people understand the difference?
I certainly think there's a segment of the population that does, but I do think there's needs to be some education around that topic.
You're the doctor, Dr. Griggs. You're the guy that's there every day in the emergency room seeing patients. When is it proper to use the emergency room?
If your symptoms are related to something you think is going to kill you, such as you have chest pain that you think is a heart attack, or you're short of breath and think you may pass out, those are reasons you absolutely should go to the emergency department. If you have a runny nose or a sore throat, if you have a minor cut, if you maybe have your arm hurts and thinks it's a sprain versus a small break, those are things that could go to an urgent care and be taken care of there.
If I'm low on income and I sprain my ankle and it needs to be taped, etc., or I have the flu, is urgent care the place to go? Can I afford urgent care? Is somebody going to pay for my urgent care appointment?
It's a lot less than going to the emergency room.
Yeah, but if I don't have the money to pay for the emergency room, I'm not going to pay for it anyway. Do I have that option? Can I go to the urgent care facility and say, thank you for the help, but I can't pay you?
We do see patients in urgent care that have no ability to compensate. We try to work with them in order to do sliding scale and other things. Atrium Health will not turn a patient away.
And what about caring?
So anyone can come to see us. We ask folks to make a modest contribution, $50 mm-hmm. per visit. That's offset through charitable gifts from the community, but we also get charitable gifts to make that zero. So at our discretion, if someone has taken the time to get to see us, they're very low income. Their health care is one of many challenges that they have. We don't want that $50 payment to be a reason they're not going to have their cut looked at.
But in truth, other surveys say it isn't just low-income people who are using the emergency room. It is people who have insurance. It is people who have physicians. And I'm wondering if they come to see emergency room physicians because it's after hours and their physician's not available, or it's a weekend. Do you see a spike at those times?
I wouldn't say that we necessarily see a busier spike at those times, but certainly I see patients all throughout the week and the weekend that have complaints that could have been managed by primary care or urgent care. That being said, you mentioned Anthem and how they're trying to drive consumers to use appropriate utilization after the fact. Mm-hmm. As an emergency physician, if you have something you think is life-threatening, even if it ends up being heartburn, I want you to come see me in the emergency department, because that's the way the healthcare system should run. If you really think this could kill you, you should go to the ED. But if you know that, you know, this is something that's just for convenience, you should probably look for alternative care in your primary care or urgent care.
Give me some examples of people who have come to you who really shouldn't have come to you, who could have waited to see a physician or could have gone to urgent care, or if they just sat tight and took an aspirin, everything would be fine.
I see patients every day who have had back pain for 2 months, and they decided that day that, you know, the pain medicines weren't working and they could have easily gone to an urgent care mm-hmm. instead of coming to see me. I have people who have runny nose, sore throat, mild fevers who come and see me in the emergency department. Those could be taken care of.
Why do you think they do that, where they make the assumption that the emergency room is the place to go when in fact it is not? Why do you think they make that assumption? Because some of these people, as I said, are not indigent. They have insurance. They can pay.
I think it's a variety of reasons. One, certainly convenience. Two, they may be anxious about the symptoms and want an immediate answer. But I would like to emphasize that, you know, for those lower acuity, I'm taking care of a lot of other people who are super sick, and you might get frustrated waiting in the emergency department. Right. And we have listed online what are the wait times at our urgent cares and our EDs. and you could probably make an appointment and be seen in the urgent care.
And in addition, for some of the lower level acuity things, we also offer virtual visits with a fixed price of $49 that you can have in the next 15 minutes and not even leave your home.
That's how do you do? That's a computerized thing, right?
Absolutely. It's a visit virtually.
So you need to have a camera on your end. And a microphone on your end.
Yes, you do need a camera and a microphone. And what we found was many people in our community have smartphones and smartphone technology.
So that'll work too.
That works too. Yeah,
but it's $49. If you don't have $49, is that available to you?
Absolutely. But it's an option for those individuals that you talked about that are insured or have access to resources that are coming to the emergency department. When I looked at our top ED utilizers at Atrium Health, more than 75% of them have access to some type of health insurance. So I don't think we should just automatically assume that it's all folks that are not insured.
I was trying to make that point. Yeah, ED is also it's the abbreviation for emergency department, which we will be using interchangeably with ER and emergency room with this conversation. In the lead up to the Affordable Care Act, we kept hearing that medical costs were rising precipitously and it was going to bankrupt the country. And one of the major problems was the cost of care in emergency rooms by people who were uninsured. But obviously, it's not just the uninsured who use them. But why is cost for care in an emergency room more expensive than at the urgent care or at your physician's office?
I mean, there's overhead costs in running an emergency department. When you present to an emergency department, you're signaling to me and the healthcare system that you think this is much more serious of a complaint than if you go to an urgent care. And by going to the emergency department, you have access to much more imaging technology, many more specialists. I have 24/7 surgeons on call. I have the ability to do CT scans, MRIs. I can whisk you into surgery if it's a surgical complaint. And so the cost of having all those individuals available 24/7 is what the overhead is.
But if I don't need them, if I just walk in because I have the sniffles and I don't go to surgery and I don't have to have a blood transfusion and I don't have anybody having to, I don't know, give me an X-ray, why is it more expensive? You're going to be there anyway. You guys are all there anyway. Explain to me why it's more expensive. We're just making you work.
I think in a market-based system, there's incentives for driving patients to use different parts of the healthcare system. And so if there wasn't a price associated with the services there, then it would drive to different behavior.
Is there a negative downside to individuals, patients, using the emergency room as opposed to going to urgent care or their own doctor?
I would say there's two major downsides.
Aside from money.
I'd say there's two other major downsides. One, they're not establishing a relationship with a primary care provider for something that they potentially might have over and over again. And it's costing a lot of their time. Most of the waits in our urgent care offices are less than 30 minutes, depending on what's going on in an ED at any point in time, because they prioritize patients not by when you walked into the door, but by the acuity of your illness. You may have to wait longer. And we understand that people's time is really important. So we'd like to encourage people to use one of the 30 ED locations that we have, two of which are open 24/7, should they have things that are not urgent or emergent in nature.
One of the things that Ruth just mentioned was the fact that if you have a regular physician who follows you, they are generally up on your physical condition. The people that use Caring, whether they have economic means or not, have that history with their caretaker. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, so we work on behalf of Atrium and Novant and all the providers to try to get a medical home for people that are the most challenged, that have no public or private insurance. And we've shown if we can get these people into a primary care setting, we can dramatically reduce the number of folks that are going to utilize the emergency room. So we're saving money and we're getting better care for the patient.
When the Affordable Care Act came into being, the hope was that emergency room use would decline because people would have money for doctors. But there weren't enough primary care physicians to take care of the surge of patients who are now suddenly covered, and so they went to the emergency room. Has that slacked off?
I think In North Carolina, we've probably seen a little bit different than other places because we didn't choose to expand right. Medicaid in our state. Right. So I don't know that we felt it as much as states that expanded Medicaid. That being said, our numbers have been pretty steady over the last 5 years.
So Anthem, I mentioned Anthem and you did too, Doctor, a moment ago. That's an insurance company that has decided or announced that they were deciding that they were going to perhaps after the fact decide not to cover their insured people's visits to emergency rooms if it was determined that they could have achieved the same care at an urgent care or a physician's office. They got a lot of criticism for that, and I think they backed off. They changed their policy. Why would anybody criticize that, given the cost to the system at large and to taxpayers at large and to patients at large? What this is all costing them. It's costing us more in insurance premiums. It's costing us more in taxes. Why would they be criticized, and why would they back off? And should they have backed off?
I think they should have backed off. I can tell you that I see patients in the emergency department that come in with chest pain, with serious risk factors, and they're asking me, how much is this is going to cost? And I'm telling them, I just want to figure out if you're having a heart attack or not. Please let me do the studies I need to do. And so the incentives that Anthem would place if they did that would dissuade people from seeking care.
So believe it or not, we have a minute left. And that Atrium has published a piece called Pathway to Health, which outlines how to get the right kind of care at the right time and the right place. It illustrates the costs, amazingly enough, of various paths to care, from a virtual visit to urgent and primary care to emergency care, and a chart Yes. of symptoms and conditions where patients with those symptoms and conditions should go for care. It's a roadmap. Where do you get this?
It will be available online at the atriumhealth.org website next week, so everybody can have access to it.
It's a great thing. I mean, it literally is a roadmap. You got this, you come to urgent care. You got this, you come to the emergency room. And the cost associated with
and,
it.
And in some of the employers, we've actually used it with employers in the region.
Ruth Christopolsky is with Atrium Health. Dr. Chris Griggs, also an emergency room department physician at Atrium Health, and Donald Jonas, executive director of CareRing. Thanks all for being here. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.